Welcome to Rewrite the Rules. I'm Ritu Mehrish.
I'm Rajita Saxena.
On this podcast, we interview successful women leaders across Asia to discover how they're rewriting the rules of life, career, and relationships.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Rewrite the Rules with our guest, Pratima Amonkar. Pratima is the area lead for cloud and AI strategy for Microsoft. Welcome, Pratima. So how about you start telling us where you started your career or when you started your career?
Thank you so much for having me on this episode. Rajita, I have been in tech. It's literally almost 25 plus years. I started with the tech career in India, and it was very much the early days, you know. Those of us who have been in tech would know the days of COBOL and Fortran. When I started, I was hooked onto this computers, and you know, I always knew that I would be in tech. So today I'm so fortunate that I lead our cloud and artificial intelligence strategy for Microsoft across ASEAN. And in this role, Rajita, I spearhead the work that we do to empower customers, partners, governments, citizens to transform their businesses and their lives with the power of cloud and AI. So, Rajita, I'm so fortunate that I'm able to work on my passion. Because passion, as we all know, is something that really gives you a lot of happiness, serves you, and you know, your passion makes you happy. On the other end of the spectrum is purpose. And purpose is something that you do, which will give you, you know, a strong feeling that gives you additional energy. It's sort of a conversion of something that you do with your passion. Your passion makes you happy, and your purpose can make others happy also. So a personal sharing here, Rajita, very early in my life, when I was a teenager, I started working with people with disabilities. And that was something that I got interested in very deeply. So in my personal journey with shaping my purpose and my passion around innovation, technology, and accessibility, I have now brought both together with the field of assistive technology also, which has helped me build a purpose to bring the power of technology to help build a more inclusive society. So this is where my purpose is shaped by the underlying belief that when everyone is included, everyone wins. And this has now evolved to develop into my identity and help frame who I am as a person. So the reason why I'm sharing all of this with you as well as with the listeners is that I'm personally very fortunate. Because I have been able to bring my passion and translate that also to my purpose. And if you had asked me 20 years ago that would I have thought that I would end up doing this, not really. I knew always technology will be there. I had the passion and the purpose around assistive tech. But now having brought both together, I'm super glad and fortunate on this.
This piece that you just mentioned on if everybody is included, everybody wins. That's such a beautiful line. And I think it also is a line that drives the work that we're doing on rewriting the rules, right? Women in the workplace, if they are felt more included, how does that, you know, how might that impact corporations? So you were talking about the evolution of technology has been so rapid in the last 20, 25 years. So while passion for technology may have helped you, how was it like to navigate your career being a woman in these organizations?
My own career trajectory has been steady because every move that I made was very, very deliberate. Every step of the way, I tried to plan and go about it in a planful manner. And I'm glad that it has helped me because it was all really centered around the core principle of taking on roles and taking on new challenges that play to my strengths while giving me room to learn. Yeah. So I always try to keep at all times a few core strengths, you know, transferable skills that I had from job to job. And then looking at how can I learn more? How can I work more on this? What is very tough in a technology environment, though, as you can imagine, is that while the path you plan could be, deliberate, the environment in tech is one of constant change. So, for example, Rajita, I was with a really cool company called Rational Software. And literally overnight, we were bought out by IBM. And suddenly my career path moved from this very small tech company to a very large tech organization, which looked at it completely different, you know, and needed a completely different way of working. The career trajectory was totally unique and different. Then later in my path, I joined a startup, which I helped to set up at 7 cities across the country. And once again, you know, changing the business path resulted in a change to my own personal career trajectory and how I grew and how I learned and how I moved up. So largely, you know, you have twists in your career path, despite all the plans that one makes, which could be ecosystem or environment, which necessitated a change in my own career plans. So navigating through all of that was what was interesting and what made the entire journey rewarding, I would say, Rajita.
Okay, very nice. I was reading in one of your articles, right, where you wrote about how you were probably one of the few women in the field when you started. So whether it was moving to a bigger company from a smaller company due to acquisition or you planning to take different roles, what role did the organization play in supporting you?
Organizational support is critical, and it is something that one would need to seek and develop oneself, I would say. I would say that structural organizational support exists in most organizations these days, and I'm extremely fortunate along the journey to have been with organizations which had this safety net at all times. For example, I was working for a company early in my career called NIIT, where Rajita, I had my baby, and they gave me an opportunity to do what was called half day work. You know, I could come in for half a day for an entire year, and that helped keep me in the workforce and kept me excited and working, and at the same time helped me to also pay attention at a important point in my life cycle. Similarly, I got an opportunity when I was with IBM to work at from home when my second child was born for 2 years. The effect of such an organizational support was that when I was given that opportunity to work from home for 2 years, I got promotions on both years. What I would say in all of this is that it is the empowerment to make the choices. If the organization is able to give you that, then you are able to make those choices. So today in my role, I am with Microsoft and I have full empowerment, you know, to be able to decide, do I need to come into office? Should I do a hybrid work? Or can I take on this project? Can I put my hand up and ask for something? All those pieces of empowerment will help you make the choices, make the right decisions, and make your career trajectory really rich. Having said that, when I went to the startup, which did not have this, right? We did not have the structure, etc. I believe that a learning path there was also very strong. The reason why is because that's when you also try to seek other opportunities, look at people around you, and how do you learn and grow in that fashion. So making sure that fundamental always learning mindset, that fundamental understanding that one needs to grow all the time is also critical. So I would say, yes, do, you know, rely on structural fabric that exists, but there is a wealth of learning that one can do with on-the-job training or special projects or reading, etc., which should be part of the standard DNA.
I find that, you know, organizations empower, but not a lot of women actually put their hand up, for instance, or even recognize that. So how did you go about asking for what you knew you deserve, or asking for what you knew is due to you?
That's a very nice question. And frankly, I keep telling everybody, this is so fundamental. You must think of yourself as an empowered woman who has the knowledge, skills, confidence to make your own choice and take control of your life. You know, most importantly, you have to be aware of your own worth and don't let anyone else define your value. And I know this is very easy and easy for me to state as words, but this is a very, very big learning, which I feel is critical, where the empowerment piece and every other piece comes into the picture. So if we think of ourselves as a person who is in control of our own life and aware of our own worth and not permitting anyone else to define our own value, then comes the next step when we actually are able to think of ourselves as, worthy of that role, or worthy of the choices that you make. And that's where the power of empowerment comes in. It's something that is there, and you need to grab it and pick it up and move ahead. Now, I'm not saying that, organizations don't have a role to play, but there is another aspect of it, that the belief that you can do it and getting into the mode of being able to put up your hand is so critical, which I personally did not do in the first half of my career, I would say first few years. And then later I learned that I should do it and, moving ahead. Along the way, of course, yes, one needs to use the levers that one has in the organization. Mm. Be fully aware of what is there. You may not know many times in very, very big organizations the wealth of different resources that are available, or the people that are available. So familiarizing yourself about what is available in the organization is very critical. Do look at both internal as well as external sources. I have an external sponsor, somebody who's not in the organization, very critical. I firmly believe that having a sounding board of that sort is very important.
You also brought up the value of having a mentor as a sounding board. And is there a story you want to share with us about how a mentor actually helped you in either making a decision that was difficult or navigating your career?
Absolutely. I am extremely fortunate in the fact that both internally as well as externally, I've had several really strong, good mentors. I would say that there are two or three different ways that you need to think about mentorship, and which helped me along the way. Yeah. I had a very wonderful mentor very early on, and she kept reiterating during the mentorship journey, and it was a multiple year journey with her, that it is a two-way street. She wanted to hear from me just as much as, mentoring me. So it became a true relationship in all of that, right? And while I was like a sponge getting a lot of inputs from her, she was learning about our area, and it was a work related, of course, and it was really very much to do with that. But then we also built a very strong relationship and even partnership along the way, with both aspects. So I gave her and she gave me, which I found so powerful and so useful in the mentoring journey. So I would say that the first useful precept, I would say, about mentorship is that always look upon it as a two-way journey. In Microsoft, we also have this very exciting mentorship concept, which is reverse mentoring. So we try to take a mentor-mentee relationship with a person who is early in career. Rajita, that was so fantastic, because you have somebody who's just, let's say, finished a MBA and maybe with 3 or 4 years work experience. And I was, a senior leader in our partner organization at that time. And connecting with a mentee in a relationship, again, two-way, where I was a mentee and she was a mentor, you know, and that really helped open my eyes to a lot more inputs from a different generation. And that was truly an extremely rewarding mentorship. Today, I have mentors who are helping shape how I'm thinking, you know, in terms of the broader strategy. Yeah. And therefore, again, mentorship is something that I rely on very heavily across different aspects of my competencies. So now I feel that it's not a single kind of a mentor. I look at 2-3 different people who are helping me on the journey and learning. And again, I keep trying to bring as much to the table as much as I'm getting out of it. What I also learned early on is that there is a very big difference between mentoring and having a sponsor.
Yes.
A sponsor in the company is a person who will thump the table and say, I believe in this person, I think this person should get this. And that is not necessarily the job of the mentor. That is the job of a wholly different person who has the influencing ability to help you get your next role or help you get your next project or help you get your next job. It's critical that we should have both mentors as well as sponsors in a successful career journey. The sponsor will be probably the person where you're trying to get to next, right? So that person is one, a person that you're trying to influence so that you say that, okay, if I want to move to, let's say, a new geo or move to a new new kind of a role, how do you go about it? That is where the sponsor comes in. A mentor, on the other hand, would be the person who will help you prepare for that and perhaps, you know, be a sounding board on how do you go about thinking and what would you do to prepare for that.
Just to go back to a few sentences, I like the concept of reverse mentoring, which is, it's almost like you're paying forward, right? You got mentoring yourself and you became where, I mean, you've come where you are in your career and now you're kind of paying it forward. I have a couple more questions. You know, one is you spoke about the learning mindset, and I want to know what you do to keep your axe sharp.
Oh, wow. That's something that is very, very critical in tech, as you can imagine. And in fact, I would say in every kind of, you know, role or job that you do. So a very critical piece, I would say, of the puzzle, on the learning mindset puzzle, is to have a clear, deliberate development plan. The dev plan ideally should be about what is your next role or what is your ambition about what you want to do next. And then actually looking at that role and comparing what is needed for that role versus current competencies. In fact, I do this all the time, Rajita. If I'm aspiring for the next role as X, I look at the JD for that role and look at my current CV and do a comparison and look at where are the gaps. And how do I now fill those gaps? That constitutes my development plan. So I think that's very, very critical. Doing some formalized training with a proper structure is extremely useful. Earlier, I used to shy away from that because I used to think that, look, I know everything. What can any teacher teach me in a class kind of a feeling? But then I realized that, you know, especially with tech as well as with non-tech, it's critical to learn in a structured manner first and then go into, you know, further, deeper books, etc. Because that gives you a foundation, you know, so would not shy away from that. I also firmly believe in on-job training or putting up my hand for stretch projects. That's something that I love doing. Even today, I keep doing that no matter how busy and stressed I am. I try to carve out time for stretch projects, which will help me learn, help me get the visibility of having done something in that area, and also help me engage with different teams and engage with other people who are subject matter experts in that. And again, I must quote our Microsoft leader Satya, who said, who tasked all of us to move from a know-it-all culture to a learn-it-all culture. That also changed me from thinking that I need to think, have the answers for everything, to understanding that, look, may not be, And people understand Correct. That if you don't have the answers and you're learning all the time.
Do you feel that sometimes for all of this that you do, sometimes that being a woman it is harder? Like, you know, when you're talking of learning, finding time for that, like you're already very busy, you're putting your hand up for stretch projects and you said you could be busy and sometimes not have the headspace, but that's the way you learn on the job. I find a lot of people, like people who report to me as well, that they feel as a woman, they need to actually know a lot more than a man might need to know.
Rajita, frankly, first of all, I don't think it's anything different. When you are really passionate about something, you take the time out and you actually Correct. Carve out the time. But actually, fundamentally, you made a very good point on how people need to feel the pressure to prove themselves and really do that. That is something that I did not do a good job of earlier. I'm being super vulnerable here and sharing with you. See, when many of us, when we get into a new role or a job, we feel desperately forced into trying to prove that we have deserved that job, right? And that we are in the right person, right. The right person for the job. But you know, Rajita, that is fundamentally not necessary. I think many of us waste time trying to prove that you're worthy of the role. It should be the other way. It should really be that you strongly believe, be confident that you've got the job because people are confident that you can do it and people have placed that bet and you are there now. So now don't waste time trying to prove that you're worthy of the role. Now just take the time to grow, to learn, to bring all the skills that one has for having landed into the job and then, actually making the best of what you have. Again, it's not something that I've cracked the code on, but I just wanted mm-hmm. to share this as a vulnerable learning that I had somewhere down the path. They call it the imposter syndrome or whatever they call it, but it's not really imposter syndrome. I think it's more about that self-belief, you know, that strong belief that you don't have to prove that you're worthy of the role. On the other hand, make that role, you know, enhance that role by doing more than what is expected and doing what you're anyway there for, right?
You know, you've shared a lot of pieces of like wisdom and nuggets of advice. But what's that one advice that you would like to give to women who are either just starting off in their career or are in mid-career right now? That is actionable, that is something that can help them.
I just want to share on a personal level for me, what is success? You know, success, I think, is that I think every one of us should have a clear belief that we are empowered women. We have this knowledge, the skills, the confidence to make our own choices and take control of our own lives. We have the access to education, to resources, to opportunities. So success to me is when we can improve our own life and the lives of those around us and be in control of our own destiny. So a favorite inspirational quote, which I keep repeating to myself, is from Helen Keller, who was a deaf-blind activist, mm-hmm. is very simple. Why yes. consent to creep when you can soar? So be fearless, be ready to soar, is what I would like to leave everybody with.
Oh, very, very inspirational. Very inspirational. Thank you so much. And here's what I'm taking away from our conversation, right? Like, I loved what you spoke about the empowerment mindset. It's not about the organization, but empowering yourself, thinking of yourself as worthy of an opportunity, believing in yourself. The second thing that you said was about deliberately planning to build skills. What are my skills that I want to develop? Or who are the mentors I want to reach out to? What kind of a mindset do I want to have when I want to learn? So understanding, reflecting and understanding your own core strengths and transferable skills that you want to build and making a plan to build those skills and in your career, etc. is important. And the third, which I cannot underscore enough, is, you know, understanding what your purpose is and what your passion is in life and then yes. trying to see how you can bring the two together. Like in your case, if you're thinking of people with disabilities and you're helping them through technology, can other women also think of what is it that is their purpose in life and can they bring it together with their careers, with their passion? So that's my takeaway from today. But this was such a great conversation, Pratima. It's lovely meeting you, and thank you so much for making the time to talk.
Thank you for having me, and thanks to everybody listening in.
Thank you so much for staying with us till the end. If you enjoyed today's conversation, please take a moment to subscribe to the show, rate us 5 stars, and leave a review. It helps others find the show, and that means a lot to us. Thank you for joining us today. This was Ritu with Rewrite the Rules podcast. See you next time.